T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One o'clock, the final hour of Show and Vern. I am Ron, the show Hughley. That is Joshua Lamont Vernier and Steve Serta. Our old friend is producing this bad boy. Remember, Show and Vern is the longest running, fastest growing sports show in the middays in all of Kansas City radio. And Show and Vern is presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. It is a Ticket Tuesday. We have been hooking you up each and every segment, two different opportunities to win a pair of Royals Indians tickets. So that means you've got two chances coming up in this segment. The next chance, Mr. Steal Your Girl's more unattractive girl will hook you up right now. Caller number 11. Caller number 11. Your chance to win Royals Indians tickets right now. We'll listen through the break. Many of you in the family are wondering how me and Vern are doing. We have really been able to put away our differences and get some common ground.
You're a professional. We move on.
We're in a better place, so we're good now. In a much better place right now. And I want to get to your sweet spot, baseball here, Vernie.
You know I hate it when you call me Vernie.
I didn't know that. I'll stop, Vernie. But I just want to let you all know. I want to help you out here. I want to help you out because I'm your guy. I know I'm your guy. I know that many of you depend on my thoughts and to help you out and to make you think about things. And I'm going to do it for you right now. I got your back, Show and Vern family. I'm going to tell you exactly what this Mike Montgomery trade was about. Exactly what it is. Because some of you wonder, how should I feel about this? How should I feel about Mike Montgomery? How should I feel about him? He's going immediately into the rotation, a lefty. He still throws 92. He's been throwing 92.4 this year, just like he was last year. His velocity has stayed the same. How should I feel about him? Do we have a chance with Mike? He's going to start Friday immediately. How should I feel? And I'm telling you, the way you should feel is solid move by the organization. But let's not get crazy. Why? Because we've experienced the top. We've experienced a championship. Not like 30 years ago. We've experienced a championship just in 2015. All right? There's a different mentality, as Vern and I always try to share with you. And these are one of the ways where you should have a new mentality. Like them being able to flip, and it's a good baseball move. Dayton said that, a good baseball move. Flipping a guy who you got at the last minute in Maldonado, got him right before the season started when we found out about Sal and his need for Tommy John surgery. You got him. You were then, after 3-4 months, able to flip him into a guy who's going to go into your rotation right now. But the reason why we need to have the proper level of excitement that I'm sharing with you, it's a solid move. You're a champion. You've been a championship team before. This isn't big for you. This isn't anywhere close to big for you, all right? He's not going to be a part of the next team, in my opinion.
So we can't be interested in this year's team?
Not saying you can't be
interested in next year's team?
Not saying you can't be, but just the proper. I'm trying to give you the proper. This is not that big
of a
deal.
I know, but what was that BS clap, man? It deserves more than that. The foresight shown by Dayton Moore for now a second straight offseason of accumulating guys that he'll be able to flip at the deadline to either supplant former Royals or be placeholders for the foreseeable future. I think it deserves more than what you're giving it.
Well, what do you think it deserves?
Well, if you're going to do this whole people are turning to Ron to find out how to feel about the Mike Montgomery trade.
Just here, man.
I don't remember you telling them what the Martin Maldonado move meant before the regular season. I mean, did you? I don't know. Maybe you did. Maybe everyone gathered as you told them the story of what Martin Maldonado and Jake Diekman.
You're damn right they did.
Here's Dayton Moore.
He clearly wants to start. We have an opportunity to start, as you guys know, with the trade that we made for Homer Bailey. And, you know, Monty's kind of been used in a very versatile role over there. He started. He's pitched in the middle. He's pitched situational. And it's just a good opportunity to get him back and you know, put him in the rotation and potentially 2 years of control for us. And so the money pretty much is a swap. So that's not just good baseball deal.
Ron, I've just seen too many organizations that force players into the big leagues before they're ready. Royals could have done that with Bubba Starling at the start of the season, I guess. You know, they could have done that with Foster Griffin or Heath Fillmyer. They could have done that with Mabrys Valoria. But instead, they went, all right, let's bring in a Martin Maldonado. We know that he is being undervalued. We know that he can be at least a backup catcher for a championship team. He's a phenomenal defensive catcher. Let's give Homer Bailey a shot. Cal Eldred says, I see something in him that I could maybe get the best out of Homer Bailey. Let's bring him in and try to flip him at the deadline. Same with Jake Diekman. Same with Billy Hamilton. Just like last year they did with Mike Moustakas and Lucas Duda and John Jay. Instead of being unwilling to admit what hasn't worked or who hasn't worked out, you address your holes, you bring guys in on a one-year deal, and then you flip them at the deadline, and it makes your organization as a whole stronger. I know we're winners now, and we need to be focused on championships, but in order to win championships, you have to be a championship organization top to bottom, and the moves of the past 72 hours to bring in the former first-round pick of the Oakland Athletics and now to bring in a guy that has won a championship in Mike Montgomery who can fill a spot in the rotation and then maybe make the transition to the bullpen, and he can be a lead-by-example guy because he's been through just about everything. That makes you as an organization healthier, stronger, and better moving forward. It deserves more than a golf clap.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't just stumble upon the Royals being a championship organization. I think that they have been a good organization. I think everything that you're describing is something that good organizations do, and I think the Royals are a good organization. And I just think this is an organization that has won before and has won championships. So we are not at a place where we overly celebrate things like this. Everything you said, I agree with. But the major part of it is Mike Montgomery, nor the guys you traded John Jay for last year, nor the guy you probably traded Homer Bailey are guys who are probably going to be on the team or be a part of your team. Is there a chance? Sure. But I think it's slim or none that those guys will be a part of the next teams that are really competitive. And that's why I'm not going over the top about it.
Congratulations, Bobby and Leewood. You won a pair of tickets to see the Royals and the Cleveland Indians next Saturday, giving away 16 pair of tickets here on Show and Vern.
You notice who's the sports erection I got for earlier.
Less sex, more sports. What are you talking about?
But you said it earlier, and I'm just still here.
No one listening remembers that.
But you said it earlier, and when we start talking about Singer and the Filthy Five, yeah, I got into that.
They're not called the Filthy Five. They're called the Fab Five. That's already been said. I'm the guy that comes up with names for baseball teams, all right?
No, you're not.
Quick reminder, Rivalry Renewed 2 coming back. Yep. 28th of July at Silverstein Eye Centers Arena. Get your tickets right now. The link to get the GA tickets and the VIP ticket packages, links can be found at 610sports.com. Mizzou alums opposite KU alums, Sunday, July 28th. It's all benefiting the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Kansas City. Now, the night before, Saturday, July 27th, is the VIP player party. And you can purchase ticket packages, again, at 610sports.com. The VIP player party is at Repeal 18th from 6 to 10. You can enjoy some Old Shawnee pizza while you're there. VIP ticket packages include your choice of game tickets, appetizers, drink tickets, a Rivalry Renewed t-shirt, a player meet and greet, a roundtable discussion, and a chance to take part in a pregame shoot-around with the players like Kim English and Kareem Rush. Ricky Paulding, Mario Chalmers, Drew Gooden, and Brandon Rush. Rivalry renewed to July 28th at Silverstein Eye Centers Arena. A great time last year. Hope to see you out there coming up end of the month. Just go to 610sports.com to get your tickets now.
Remember, coming up here shortly, your next opportunity to win Royals Indians tickets coming up here in this segment in just a bit. Man, fellas, I gotta stop going to this Hy-Vee by my house, man.
The one that you...
Yeah.
Didn't you crap dust someone, one of the coworkers?
I just crapped my pants in there and had to throw them away.
Yeah.
But
I love Hy-Vee.
I do too, but I feel like I've got...
I paid
$1.09
a gallon last week because I had so
get out of here.
Oh, man. $1.41 off a gallon.
That's
amazing.
Big. That's big.
Top end grocery store sushi.
I love it.
Top end.
Agreed.
I've not tried it.
That Cosentino's downtown also.
That's not
really
Hy-Vee, though.
I know, but I'm just saying it's another grocery store with really good sushi.
I just feel like I've got to apologize to more of...
Did you crap your pants at Hy-Vee again?
No. I just feel like I have to apologize to the workers again there. I don't remember the
guy's
name.
Did you cause a scene at this Hy-Vee? What happened?
No, I should have just stuck with my first instinct. I really should have. Because I hate...
You get cavalier with a fart?
No, it's not anything disgusting or nasty, all right?
Okay.
I just got myself in one of those situations where I just didn't know what to do. And I told you I was going to the grocery store to do some grocery shopping. We had a nice long line behind me. It's about, four people behind me. Yeah. And I got all my stuff on the line real quick, man. Got it, everything separated. And then I see there's no bagger. And I see the person's just pushing all my stuff down, and it's really starting to load up. And I'm like, should I help bag this? Because, I don't want to overdo what I'm supposed to be doing. It is, his job. Should I help him? Should I not? I want to make this faster.
What
so
did you
people,
do? Just...
So then I was like, all right, I'll start helping myself. And then I could not get those plastic bags to open. I kept pulling it off. I couldn't get the damn thing to open. So I said, all right. I think by the end of it, man, I pulled like four of them because I couldn't get my fingers or something. I even licked my fingers to try to open it. I couldn't get the thing open, and the guy was finally like, no, man, it's okay. I'll get it. But I felt bad.
Why
didn't
you just grab a paper bag? That's what you should be doing anyway.
I think I got nervous. I felt like everybody in the entire
place
was watching.
Just use the fingertip.
I tried to.
Just flick it.
I tried to, but I could not get the damn things open. And then I felt like he gave me pity response, and he said, yeah, man, it's all right, man. When I first started bagging, man, I could never get these things open. Either I just wanted to help, so then we just stood there, longer. Nobody ever came over to help bag, and it just took all day. And I felt like the ladies behind me were just really upset. Like,
no, a lot of every person that was bagging groceries that worked there was laughing at you, and everyone in line behind you was hating you internally.
And I like after the first one, I got to move it so fast. I'm like, I gotta get these damn things open. I'm trying to slide it.
Yeah, those people are really starting to have enough of you because they know that it was you that
they don't know.
Left the dirty underwear in the bathroom.
And it gets
around.
You didn't throw them in the toilet?
But, like, I'm not over. No, I threw them in the...
What, are you going to flush underwear?
Them and really give them a problem? No, I took them and threw them in the trash. But hold on. Am I out of bounds by going to go help?
I always do it.
Because I don't know, it's like I feel like I'm doing their job or something.
Off the rundown.
All right, off the rundown.
No, it's an easy
sponsored
answer.
By absolutely no one. Someone could step up.
You don't even got to do off the rundown.
It's just for the fact that I just couldn't get the damn things open.
I like it. I used to work at a grocery store, so it was a nice throwback.
I don't have that experience.
Oh, yeah.
Someone saying I licked my fingers. I licked them. I just could not get the damn things open. And then after the first one, I think I got nervous. And I'm trying so hard, I'm just ripping them off.
Ron, you didn't read that text properly. Again, this is listener 800-8135.
I read it.
Lick your fingers. Were you the one at Hy-Vee staring at my wife while licking your fingers?
I just moved past it. I just didn't.
Well, speaking of move past it.
Were you?
No, I didn't. I wasn't staring at anybody except the lady behind me. I don't think there was any man with her. But I was like, oh, God, she is looking at me like, God, how long is it going to take, ass?
I mean, you should be embarrassed. That's pretty strange you couldn't figure that whole plastic bag scene out. Doesn't sound that difficult.
You can't even split them from the bottom.
I know. The bottom, the middle, just by pulling at. I mean, yeah,
is it
the
it,
options are limited, really?
It wasn't, man.
All right, text line. You're just being mean to Ron now. But Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line, keep those coming in. Text line 693-06. Let's give away more tickets. Royals, Indians, next Saturday, Kauffman Stadium, the Red Hot Tribe taking on your boys in blue. 6:10 Saturday, Cody Tapp out of the 6:10 mobile studio at Gate A in left field. Let's give away another pair.
Let's do it.
What do you got for the people?
I apologize to you, Ken. I feel like that's your name, the guy who was.
Listener 25, how are you guys ranked 11th? How are you guys ranked as high as 11th?
Sucker to you, we're tied for 11th. Yeah, because you hate us and you have a listener number.
No, I don't think he hates us.
I think he does. I really do.
All right, what do you want to know? What do you want to do? How do you want to give these tickets
away? All right, all right. Caller number, what'd you say?
11.
Caller number 11. We've done that already today. Caller number 11, your chance to win Royals Indians tickets, but we got to make you work for it. Jump in on this. All right, Vern, I'm really interested hearing this from you. I know Serta's going to have a laundry list on this. Name an actor and actress who played the hell out of their role. I mean, they played, I mean, just was fantastic. Mm. And deserved to win an Oscar, but didn't win it.
Oh, Leonardo DiCaprio like 15 different times. He didn't win an Oscar for Catch Me If You Can.
I don't think he was that great.
Or The Aviator. He was incredible in Catch Me If You Can.
The Aviator he was up for. But Catch Me If You Can, I don't feel. That didn't feel like.
I don't know. I hate award shows. It's art. Who am I to judge?
Yeah, but some people have just were so good. Like Angela Bassett and What's Love Got to Do With It. Good God, man. She should have at least been up. My number one for me.
I don't know.
Cuba Gooding Jr. in Radio. The way he transformed himself into that cat in Radio. Oh my God. He was fantastic. And
a good one from the text line, Heath Ledger as the Joker in Dark Knight.
That's not bad. Jamie Foxx and Django. Jamie Foxx was really good in that.
Pretty sure Heath Ledger won an Oscar for being the Joker in Dark Knight.
You don't know.
And when you say pretty sure, Steve, no. Here we go.
Fairly certain he won the Oscar that year
then
for playing
up.
The Joker.
Quit saying it. Look it up and find out.
Best Supporting Actor, Heath Ledger, 2009, The Dark Knight.
Okay.
All right. That's all you had to do.
James McAvoy.
It split. He was really good in that.
James McAvoy, get out of here. James McAvoy is
you're talking about Catch Me If You Can. James McAvoy played like 18 different
directed
personalities.
By Steven Spielberg. We're nominating people for M. Night Shyamalan movies as if he's been relevant since The Sixth Sense.
Tom Hanks, Castaway, pretty strong.
That was the first one that came to my mind.
Was it? All right, all right.
Also, Glass was garbage.
See, did Leo not win for What's Eating Gilbert Grape, or was he just nominated? I know he was at least nominated. I don't remember. But caller number 11, your chance to win Royals Indians tickets. Hang on. Serto, get your information. But I need to know the best actor or actress.
The Oscars are a fraud.
People talk about Cuba, man. Cuba turned himself into that radio fella. That was.
I never saw it.
Oh, man. That was strong.
Did you see it when it came out, or is this all part of your watch all the old movies?
I saw it when it came out.
Just looking at losers.
Sean Penn, I Am Sam, pretty strong. He was fantastic in that. Yeah. Denzel's been robbed so many times, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel like this is why I hate the Oscars. There's just too many game plans to win an Oscar. Pretty girl is ugly. Oh, my God, how did she do it? This guy plays a mentally handicapped individual or a homosexual, and he's not homosexual. How'd he do it?
Yeah, Sean Penn and Harvey. Sean Penn and Harvey Milk, fantastic.
Milk is a really good movie.
He was fantastic, but I think he did. Right. Did he did win? Jamie Foxx did win for Ray Charles. Get out of here with Will Smith.
Right, let's just go to him.
I'm sorry.
You're just sure? Get to it, yeah.
All right, Steve and Lenexa, go ahead. Congratulations, Steve and Lenexa. What's an actor or an actress who you thought should have won an Oscar but didn't?
Tom Hanks.
Which role?
Forrest Gump.
Okay, Tom Hanks did win. Tom Hanks won.
Did he? He did win for Forrest Gump. He did not win for Castaway or Forrest Saving Gump. Private Ryan.
He won 2 years in a row for Forrest Gump in Philadelphia.
He was also nominated for Big. Had no idea he got nominated for Steve, Oscar for his role in that.
That'd be ready,
so you could have said any of those. Any of those.
Yeah, back-to-back years, he won for Philadelphia. And
all right, nerds. Steve, hang on hold, sir, we'll get your information. You guys just want to do what you want.
Leonardo DiCaprio's
so
only got one Oscar win, all right? So he should have, like, seven.
Newsflash.
Forrest Gump. Flash.
Remember that guy?
You gotta know he won for Forrest Gump.
Oh, I didn't. He's been robbed before.
In a video shared on his social media page, Phil Mickelson explained that he hasn't felt good about himself or the way he's been playing, so he spent 10 days performing what he called a hard reset. Included in that hard reset, he fasted for 6 days straight, only drinking water in a special blend of wellness coffee.
Yeah, that's so messed up to me. I would get a headache in that first day, and I'd be sick as a dog. Although, I did see Tony Kornheiser bring this up, and I think it's a good point. That was a bet. Phil Mickelson is a degenerate gambler. No one just says, I'm going to fast for 6 days unless it's like a holiday or a religious.
Oh, you think he lost it?
Yeah, he lost a bet or said, I can do this. And someone said, no, you can't.
Because he's a competitor.
Yes.
God, Wesley Snipes is Nino Brown in New Jack City Strong. Good God almighty.
He better do something in the, what's next, U.S. Open? British Open?
The British Open. The Open Championship.
Let's go, Phil.
Phil's not going to do anything.
He has to. What the hell, you didn't eat for 6 days?
What is what
you've
does
been
you mean
cut in
something?
Four of the last six
majors? What do you mean,
majors?
Like a top ten finish?
What the hell do you think I mean? I'm talking about Phil Mickelson.
I don't know if you meant win or not. I don't know. God, is this?
Forrest Gump.
The fact that Stanley Kubrick never won an Oscar as a director is a travesty.
Okay.
What's
hippie.
Stanley Tucci or whatever his name is?
Stanley Kubrick's one of the greatest directors that has ever lived.
God.
A Clockwork
Save it
Orange,
for the podcast.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
Why don't you guys just do this?
The Shining?
This isn't me, man. We've lost them. That's not on it's
The
not
Shining is 20 minutes too long.
You are really got to handle it. Harrison Ford and The Fugitive, pretty sure.
Serta, you know The Shining is 20 minutes too long.
I don't think Serta agrees.
It probably is. Yeah.
Really? Good Lord. Okay. Good Lord. All right. Coming up. All right, your final two opportunities to win a pair of Royals tickets, Royals Indians coming up. Your last two opportunities. And coming into this season for the Royals, there were two major things that I feel like Royals fans should be watching. One of them was Brad Keller. The other thing, folks, I think it's about time to get concerned about this.
Joe and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Back in Show and Burn, also as a late entry, I forgot about the Samuel Jackson, A Time to Kill. Oh, goodness, he was strong in that as well. Remember, these are your final two opportunities. Right now, and probably in about 15 minutes or so, two opportunities to win a pair of Royals Indians tickets. Caller number 18. Caller number 18. Your chance right now to win Royals Indians tickets, 913-576-7610. Caller number 18. Your chance to win. And we have one more opportunity for you to win a pair of Royals tickets before we hand things over to The Drive. Coming up behind us, Carrington Harrison and Sean Levine, Brandon Kiley producing this puppy. Check it out. If you haven't seen our Make Me Laugh 2 minute roast fest, me and Vern went one-on-one. You can find that on Twitter. We've all retweeted it, or if you follow 610 Sports, you can find that. It was pretty good. Pretty solid. Pretty solid on there, I would say.
Are we allowed to play that on the radio?
I don't know. But go ahead and check it out.
I've got the audio already.
We just roasted each other, really, for about 2 minutes. Vern did pretty good.
Yeah.
He did pretty good.
I left a few plays out there.
Yeah, I know I did as well. Vern, let me.
Never mind. You're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to. Now I'm interested in what you wanted to say that you apparently held back saying. But that's fine. Everybody check out the video. Ron's right. It is pretty funny. I retweeted it at Josh Vern. You're 6'10".
Listen, this year coming into it, we've talked about it, Vern, and I've said with the Royals, we know that this season is they're probably not going to be competitive, and we knew that pretty far out early. And I said the two big things for me are players who will be on this team or should be or you need to be on this team to be cornerstones the next time this team is competitive. And the two that really jumped out was Brad Keller from the pitching standpoint and then Adalberto Mondesi. He is a guy that we've heard about for years. And late last year, he started to show some potential to a point where guys like Cody Tapp, who were very trusted, who said, I think he could be a top five MVP candidate. All right. And then we've had people who were really, really bullish about Mondesi. And I think the two things was, hey, what kind of steps are these guys going to take? What kind of steps is Brad Keller going to take? What kind of steps are Adalberto Mondesi going to take? What are they going to look like? And to start the season, I think with Mondesi, we were very confident. He was playing really well. He still has the stolen bases, 30 stolen bases. He was somebody who looked the part, was starting to look and say, this guy's got a chance to be the star or the big-time player for years to come and could be one of the focal point offensively for this team when they become competitive again. I don't know if people really know his numbers right now because I know people haven't been paying attention as much. I'm sure of it. I think people really still remember his start. He's got 30 stolen bases, but, man, his average has dropped down. He's been hitting like 300 at least for most of the year. His average has dropped down to 264. On-base percentage is under 300 at 293. Slugging percentage, 432 slug, or on-base percent, or I'm sorry, OPS, 725. Like, it is dropping and dropping. To me, we are starting to enter a level of concern. The reason why I say a level of concern, yeah, Vern.
I don't know about concern.
This is why I say concern. Now,
by
he's
the
got
way,
the
300, he hasn't been. 300 in April in the early part of the season, yeah, for the first few weeks. But no, he hasn't seen 300 in months. His OPS has fallen 100 points in the past 2 months. He's gone from, what, 825 to about 725 May 10th. To today,
the last
July
16th. Time, the last time we talked about this, he had been between 280s and 300. His average had been pretty well. The big concern then was he's not walking enough. Now all of it is. Now all of it is dropping down. And to much like Alex Gordon, I wonder how many people know his slash line and numbers have dropped to this point. The reason why I say concern is because it feels like we could be entering a place of regression. And to me, if he's taking a step back from where he was last year, that is a concern to me.
He has two home runs in the past 2 months. Again, his OPS has plummeted over 100 points in the past 2 months. Regression, I don't think I can get with you in regression. Now, again, like I brought up with CDOT and Kling when they joined us for Shop Talk at 11:30, and I mentioned a few weeks ago, I find it disappointing that Adalberto Mondesi isn't clearly the best player on this team. Hunter Dozier is. You can make a case Whit Merrifield is. But there's no arguing that Adalberto Mondesi isn't the best player on this team. At least he hasn't been this season. And I thought by July 16th of 2019, it would be evident not only to Royals fans, but evident to everyone in the American League Central that it's Adalberto Mondesi and the Kansas City Royals. When the Royals come to town, you want to see Mondesi. Just like when the Tribe come to town, you want to see Francisco Lindor. Yes, he has not been the breakout star that many people were expecting, but what he has been able to do is play. And for the most part, stay on the team. He has had a stint on the IL. That, to me, is concerning. That's the real big thing that's been hanging over his career is durability or a lack thereof. He's played in 81 games at the big league level. He's never done that before. The second half of the season, priority number one is stay on the field.
And priority number two is going to be find the extra base power that has been MIA for the past 2 months. But to say that he's regressed, look, base paths, still a monster. Defensively, still well above average. But at the plate, you're right. He has been a below average hitter for a majority of this season.
And that's what, as you told me when we talked about Bubba Starling, it's at the plate. You got to hit.
Right.
Like, you got to hit. We didn't expect him to be Alcides Escobar. And if this, like we said, he's got the second half to get this right and maybe rekindle where he was to start the season. But this thing is dropping. I mean, this starts to drop under 250. His on-base percentage keeps dropping where he's hitting at the top of the lineup. And it's not like he doesn't have people around him. He's got Witt hitting in front of him, Dozier, Soler. Like, we're getting to a point where it's not just – because when we talked about this earlier, Vern, it was – I said I think it's more Hunter Dozier and the way Hunter Dozier is playing. Hunter Dozier, to me, has stepped forward so much that I'm not disappointed in the season Montas he's having. It's more – this dude, Hunter Dozier, is getting busy.
Right.
Now, Vern, it's starting to drop into, it ain't just Hunter Dozier's having a better season than him. We're starting to say, you could look at and say, Soler is clearly having a better season.
Yeah, like offensively, Alex, and he has been for a while. That's the thing.
Alex's numbers are going across that are better. Like, it is going to a place of, all right, man, we are clearly taking a step back if this continues from last year. And that, to me, is concerning.
Look, the best stat to judge offense, in my opinion, is OPS adjusted. It's on base plus slugging adjusted to the ballpark
just
in which
curious.
You play.
Why? Why is that the best stat?
Because I think OPS is the best. On base percentage and slugging percentage. That mm-hmm. shows you not only are you getting on base, but how are you getting on base? Is it extra base power or is it just walks? Batting average is basically meaningless. OPS adjusted is adjusted for the ballpark in which you play and the scoring climate of the day. So it's the best also to compare generations. And league average is 100. Last year, Adalberto Mondesi was 115. That's well above average. This year right now, he's at 89. When you and I had a conversation similar to this a few weeks ago, he was at about 95. So yes, the plummeting has continued. He's at an 89 OPS adjusted right now. Hunter Dozier, 132. Whit Merrifield, 124. Jorge Soler, 116. Alex Gordon, 110. So those four have been above average hitters this year. Chesler Cuthbert's at a 98. Cuthbert's been swinging a very good bat of late. And for the season, albeit it's only 36 games for Chess, Chess has been a better hitter than Adalberto Mondesi. And even those words coming out of my mouth never seemed possible when this season opened up. Now, maybe I wasn't all in on top five MVP candidate, but I did think by now it would be clear that Adalberto Mondesi is a star and will be a superstar.
Oh, and I thought right we now, would feel that way by the end of the year. Like,
yes, and there's still time. There's still time to turn it around. But right now, you look at Adalberto Mondesi and you go, he's a good player that can be an all-star. I thought it would be a little bit more than that for Mondy halfway into the season. But again, staying healthy, that's key. The defense hasn't fallen off. I'm not in the clubhouse enough. This is something we can ask Cody when he joins us tomorrow. I would be interested in the mentality of the young man. He's been through a lot. He's had countless struggles at the big league level and in the minor leagues. After the way that he finished last season and with the way that he started this season, I would like to know where he's at mentally right now. This game's always trying to beat you down. I wonder if it's starting to do just that to the still very young 23-year-old Adalberto Mondesi.
Yeah, I really just – this second half is going to be really, really something to watch to see if he is able to turn this around to get hot, because if it stays like this, I think it is concerning.
Him, Dozier, Keller. Second half is big. Jacob Junis took a nice step last night with 10 strikeouts. We'll see what the second half means for him as well. 10 strikeouts. The slider was as good as we've seen it this season from Jacob Junis. Thomas and Lee Summit, you have a chance to see Adalberto Mondesi and Hunter Dozier. You win a pair of tickets, our penultimate pair of tickets here on a Ticket Tuesday. Royals and Cleveland next Saturday at Kauffman. We have one pair to go on this Ticket Tuesday.
And let's hold it down right now. Caller number Caller number 14.
Nice.
Caller number 14. This is the final pair of Royals Indians tickets we're hooking you up with. Caller number 14, 913-576-7610. Hang on the line, because if you can help me out in answering this final question that we have. You guys have been fantastic today with participating on this. If you're in a public pay, what?
I just wanted to apologize to Isaac again for what I did to him during three strikes.
That's big of you. Yeah. That's big of you.
12:30 if you want to listen.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. But...
If in a public place and you're peeing and you miss, do you take the time to clean it up?
God, you are so mad about this. About our dirty bathroom here at work.
I just want to know.
Golly.
I just
want
to know.
Have you been in the bathroom with Ron? He complains about people missing the toilets in our bathroom here at work.
I'm 100% with him. It's
I'm sorry. How far back
was
that?
It's gross.
How far back was that?
We've spent many a weekends here where there's just been crap on the walls because someone who comes in over the weekend can't control themselves.
So, but I'm just saying, I know you do it. I hope you do it at home. But if you're a public place, and you're peeing, and you miss, you know.
Yeah, what?
What's happened? Do you
or you pee with the seat down, and you pee all over the seat?
No, never cleaning it.
You don't clean
it. In a public place?
Oh, you just like put the seat up.
In the office. You don't, like,
you put the seat up.
You just leave it?
I might not even do that.
Just put the seat
up.
Are
you being serious?
Swear
right
to
now?
God.
We're all adults.
Nah, man. If I'm at a urinal.
If I was at the big bathroom where, like, everyone's trying to get to, and I did on that seat, yes. The other ones? Those things are so messed up anyway, man. Nah, man.
I'm not talking about no porta potties. Like a school or when you're
it's
in college.
It's respectful for the person that comes in the stall after you to not pee all over the toilet.
It is, man. If I miss the
like
ground
to clean
at
up
a
somebody
urinal,
else's pee just so I can sit out.
I am going to go get paper towels and at least put my foot down and clean that up because that's nasty. Somebody out here in our bathroom got this
on the floor.
I would pee. Pee on the floor. Yeah. I would go and get my foot. And
really?
Yeah.
Good
if
for
it's, especially
you.
If it's my own.
That's a lot. I'm just more talking about the toilet seat.
Oh, if you pissed and missed,
pee.
Because that's the.
Yeah, if I accidentally.
You could smell. I'm saying it.
If I accidentally shot it out to the right, I'm probably not going and getting paper towels.
And I'm
that.
Saying.
And.
But.
Stop right
the
now.
The toilet seat?
Okay. Why are you yelling and just.
Because it's so frustrating. Every day I got to clean that stupid toilet seat off. In that bathroom.
Okay. Ron, you're a liar. Remember when you peed on Serta?
And I did clean it up.
No, you didn't.
I did too. Yes,
did
I
you?
Did, Steve.
Okay, I didn't
I cleaned
think you
it
did.
Up.
I thought
I wiped,
you peed on him and
like,
left.
It was an accident, man. Yeah, I do. That's
no,
nasty.
You peed all
the
over
only
his foot.
The only time that I haven't is when I've been Trishel from Real World Vegas, Three Sheets to the Wind, and I've been out at like some hole in a wall bar. And I may have missed and just kept on rolling. But right. normally, man, you got to do that. Man.
Caller number 14, 913-576-7610. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. From the 913, hey, guys, in other news, how about those Chiefs?
How about them? We've been talking about them all damn day.
Speaking of the Chiefs, though.
That guy probably pees all over the toilet.
You know he does, on his foot and everything. Just keeps on going.
Did Carrington, when he joined us in studio for Shop Talk at 11:30, did his reasoning for what he said on the show yesterday, did that clear anything up for you?
Oh, absolutely not.
Here's what CDOT said on the show yesterday, the drive.
I assume this isn't a hot take, but it's 2019. I don't know what's considered a hot take anymore. If the Chiefs are playing road playoff games, something went wrong in the regular season. I know that every year is different, and I understand that what happens in 2018 doesn't automatically translate to 2019. If we are in January talking about the Chiefs heading to Cleveland or heading to Houston or heading to Indianapolis or New England, something went wrong in the regular season. The Chiefs need to be the one seed in the playoffs. You need to do everything you did last year. Everything you did last year. This roster is better. Mahomes is a year ahead. The defense is better. If this team is playing a road playoff game, something went wrong.
Yeah, I didn't clear it up. I think the part where we agreed was when he talked about the expectation. The expectation is Super Bowl. But just because they're the two seed, because they could play a road playoff game in New England and be the two seed, doesn't mean something went wrong. When I think something went wrong, Vern, I think injury – I think suspension. I think something happened.
Or like, the defense sucks.
Or, yeah, Frank Clark stinks. Or something that's like something out of the ordinary happened. Losing and being the two seed, or hell, losing the division to the Chargers is not something out of the realm of possibility, because you play a tougher schedule, like you're going on the road at New England and they don't have to do that. Like, you play a different schedule than they do. The schedule is a big key, and I do think the Chiefs are a really, really good football team. Now, I think something would have seriously gone wrong if they went 9 games. It's like something didn't happen. But, man, come on, man. These quarterbacks they have on this schedule, I mean, they got a run of Deshaun Watson. They've got Andrew Luck, top 3 in the MVP voting last year. Hell, Nick Foles is one of the bad quarterbacks they play. Matt Stafford's one of the bad quarterbacks they play. The worst quarterback they play all season is Marcus Mariota. The absolute worst. He beat you here on the playoff game. The absolute worst quarterback they play. They play Rodgers. This schedule is tougher. New England has a much easier division than the Chiefs do, in my opinion. You could see it happening.
The things that I disagreed with, and he mentioned it, so obviously, and he brought it up when he joined us on Shop Talk, is just because something happens in 2018 doesn't mean that there's any correlation to 2019. We've all watched the NFL long enough that things change quickly in this league. And as Will Shields alluded to last week, and Fesco's been bringing up for months now, it might take this defense a while before they mesh, before they're playing at 100%. And so long as they're doing that come week 16, 17, and into the postseason, I really don't care what you do over the first 5 weeks. Now, as I say that, us sitting here on a Monday, if they lose in week 4, we're still going to nitpick it. We're still going to point out what they're doing incorrectly. But I don't think it's going to change the ultimate goal. To me, it's Super Bowl or bust. Get to the Super Bowl, and everything else is secondary. Winning the division, putting up 5,000 yards by Patrick Mahomes, winning the MVP, winning double digit. I don't care about any of it. I've watched Aaron Rodgers go on the road 3 straight weeks and win a Super Bowl. We've seen Joe Flacco do something similar. It's just, I'm not going to allow, quote unquote, something going wrong. I'm not going to allow that to force me to change my expectations for this Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, yeah, Tyron Matthew, Patrick Mahomes 2019 ball club. Whether you win the division or not, you still got to make it to Miami. That's still the bottom line in 2019.
Yeah, that is, we agree with that assessment, that is it. But to say, like, last year, there was nothing that went wrong for the L.A. Rams. They just lost. They lost on the road against New Orleans. There's nothing wrong, nothing bad that went wrong here. Congratulations to Jerry and Greenwood, our final winner for a pair of Royals Indians tickets. I want to hear it, Jerry, man. If you're in a public bathroom and you pee and you miss a little bit, are you cleaning it up?
Oh, every time.
Thank you, Jerry.
Or I'll use another stall.
Thank you, Jerry. I'm glad we were able.
What do you say?
I'll choose another stall if I don't clean it.
So, no, then you're not always cleaning it.
I don't understand what Jerry's saying here. I thought Jerry was with us.
It just sounds like Jerry pees all over the stall.
No, what it sounds like, he's saying he walks into a stall, there's already pee on it. He's just going to another stall.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not cleaning other people's piss. I'm talking about my own urine.
What if you got to sit down and that's the only one?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm talking about if you yourself miss your own urine, are you cleaning it?
No, I'm out of there. It's public.
I know you.
Nobody will ever know it was me. It's the perfect crime, really.
That's just so disrespectful. It's just so disrespectful and nasty, and I can hear you
saying. No, it's not. It's a men's room.
Some of you are arguing about Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota has been struggling throwing forward passes here of late. I think Derek Carr, go look at.
What about him?
Talking about, I said that Marcus Mariota is the worst quarterback that's on the schedule, and people are going about. Right now, I think Derek Carr is better than Marcus Mariota. None of them are world beaters.
But we all know your bias towards the Raiders.
I'm sorry, man.
True or false? True or false, you've considered picking the Raiders in 2019?
I have not considered it.
Okay.
This is a Chiefs-Chargers division.
Are you a big Josh Jacobs fan?
I'm sorry, sir. Did you hear someone say, yeah, I'm picking the Raiders? Because the way that you came to the mic, it sounds like.
Sir cracked himself.
You said, it sounds like you heard.
Hey, quick reminder, make sure you're following at 610 Sports KC. Show and Vern important. Confessions after the show, after every show. We go into the confession room, show myself and Serta, and we give you our thoughts on today's program. If you missed it, Ron isn't sure if he's going to be able to make it to my wedding. So, yeah, it's going to go down. You can cuss. It's going to go down. Show and Vern Confessions. You can also see Show and I squaring off.
I'm not going to Vegas to cover the – stop.
The Money Shot.
Let's finish with a bang. The Money Shot brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for mostly not Jewish city. It's open in the Crossroads. It is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. Hey, Spoons, finish them off.
It's Show, and I want you to think this through, Vern, because I want to have a conversation real quick about this. I know we only got 60 seconds. But if you're Joel Embiid, do you accept this from Charles Barkley? I know Charles Barkley is an all-time great, maybe even a better broadcaster than he is player. And he's a Hall of Famer. But Charles Barkley said of Joel Embiid, and we know what Charles Barkley looks like, that Joel needs to get his fat butt in shape. Like, if you're Joel, you take that from Charles?
Well, what's he going to say?
I'm just saying, man. Like,
is Joel overweight?
I feel like Charles has to say it in another way because he's so fat.
But he mentions how fat he is. It's not like Charles doesn't know or isn't self-aware.
Yeah, but yeah, just because you're self-aware, though, man, I feel like you got to say it in a different way.
You and I can tell people that, hey, you need to shave your head, you're balding, and we're both balding.
I'm not balding. You're balding.
I mean, Ron,
I'm not balding.
You're not balding.
No, you are. It's
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
Hey, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.